Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, we go to the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, who joins us, Browns beat reporter, 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
Are you excited about Freddie Kitchens, or were you surprised yesterday about Freddie Kitchens as well?
Not excited, not surprised.
Not excited.
It wasn't a great year to hire a head coach. Hopefully this works out. His ascent was certainly rather quick, considering that he arrived here a year ago as the running backs coach and associate head coach. But he earned the job, and I think that that's a little something that kind of gets lost in this whole deal here, that he was able to do in a relatively short amount of time, about a year, really show John Dorsey that he can be the guy that leads this franchise going forward.
Dale, you said not a good year to hire a head coach. I just wonder anymore, the way that Cliff Kingsbury got hired, the way that Adam Gase, after a mutiny, ends up getting hired with the Jets. I think basically in the same way that almost anybody can become president of the United States now, almost anybody can become an NFL head coach, regardless of experience, regardless of whether you're a retread, regardless of whether your team, had a mutiny like they did with Adam Gase. Like, any of these guys could become a head coach in a matter of no time. So I don't know anymore what a top candidate even means.
Yeah, and there's just so much turnover in the NFL these days, for all the criticism, and it's deserved that the Browns get for the amount of turnover they have had in their coaching ranks, especially over the last 4 or 5 years here. This is a league-wide thing. There's not a lot of patience among NFL owners. You had 8 of 32 teams make a coaching change this offseason. That's a quarter of the league. And that's basically become standard operating procedure in the National Football League. And what happens when you're doing that and you're just churning these coaching staffs over at that rate? First of all, you don't get a lot of candidates on a consistent basis that are worth the job or worthy of the job. And, it's such a volatile thing, and it's an epidemic within the NFL. There's not a lot of patience. And like I said, even the Browns, and nothing against Freddie Kitchens, nothing against Kevin Stefanski, but really, the Browns were supposed to be the dream job of everyone in the NFL, and your two finalists were interim offensive coordinators? I'm just being realistic about the situation.
Well, wait a minute. I was to understand here, Daryl, and I'm making an argument here, that if he were offered an interview, that certainly Josh McDaniels would have taken the interview and would have went there. Would he not have been? He's certainly a bigger name. Not that I think he would have been a better head coach, but Josh McDaniels is a bigger name. If they would have really pressed with Adam Gase, would Adam Gase have turned down Baker Mayfield? Would he have turned down the Browns?
Well, and this is the problem. Those two guys were not a fit here. Their personalities just would not have worked with John Dorsey or the organization. And that was a major consideration as they went through this process. You need somebody
What do you want? Do you want fit, or do you want a big name? Because it sounds like you're disappointed because it wasn't one of the major names that we were talking about.
No, I'm not disappointed. I'm just pointing out that the reality of this is how the search ended. This is what was out there. The big names that were out there weren't a fit. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't much in the buffet to choose from here, unfortunately. But fit is very, very important. Because especially here in Cleveland, because of all the problems the Browns have had behind the scenes, the fighting with the GM, sucking up to the owner, pointing fingers at everybody, and all those type of things. So, the people skills, the fit, That's very, very important, and one of the best parts of the Freddie Kitchens hire is that John Dorsey knows and has learned over the last year exactly what he's getting in his head coach, not only as a coach and professional, but as a person and as a human being. And if you talk to anyone in the league that's ever been around Freddie Kitchens, there is nobody, and I mean nobody, that utters a bad word about him. Not only is he a good coach, but he's a pretty good person, too.
Daryl Ryder joined us on the hotline. Daryl, the one thing I would pause when I'm listening to what you're saying, I don't know that it would have mattered if it were a huge year of coaching candidates. I think they fell in love with Freddie Kitchens, and there's nothing wrong with falling in love with a candidate.
Yeah.
I, you know, whether or not he's experienced, and we'll get into that. Obviously, we understand he's gonna learn on the fly, and they think he is okay. They think he's gonna be fine doing that, and he might be. But I don't know that it would have mattered if there were all these huge names. Remember, you know, we talked about Josh McDaniels last year being a top candidate for a bunch of teams. Mike McCarthy's coached in 18 playoff games. That's a big name. The guy's won a Super Bowl. Okay, I don't know that it would have mattered if there were all these top-fledged, quote-unquote, candidates.
Well, and then that goes back to what I said at the beginning, Anthony. He earned the job, okay? You know, and there's something to be said for that, that, you know, John Dorsey was so impressed with the work that he was able to do. You know, everyone gets caught up in that eight-game stretch, Anthony. And it was impressive, the turnaround. You know, Baker Mayfield was a different football player. The offense, they look like a completely different football team with the same exact personnel as the previous 8 weeks. But I think that there's something to be said for what happened in the previous, you know, 8 or 9 months before that as well, when he walked in the door and was hired on the staff too. So while we're all focused on the success that the Browns had, and it's tangible, I think that there's also something to be said for, you know, John Dorsey being able to observe, you know, the work that he had done before he was promoted to offensive coordinator with this team, too. I'm very curious where Freddie Kitchens was on John Dorsey's coaching board that he told us about when they fired Hugh and Todd Haley. Remember when he sat there in October and he said, hey, you know, we had a chance when I was unemployed to really put together a coaching board of, you know, guys that are ready now or might be ready in a couple years or in 5 years. Where I'm curious to see if he'll reveal just where Freddie Kitchens was on that board.
Daryl Ryder joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Is there such a thing as a honeymoon period for Freddie Kitchens?
Unfortunately for him, no. He's not going to get the honeymoon period because this team's expected to win now. You know, if they don't make the playoffs in 2019, there's going to be a lot of disappointed Browns fans. There's going to be a lot of, you know, there's going to be some criticism too because you look at what John Dorsey did roster-wise in just 1 year. The anticipation is with all the cap room and the draft picks that he has at his disposal, there's going to be another strong infusion of talent on this football team. Just going back and looking at this past season where we go through the woulda, couldas, and shouldas and say, hey, they, you know, they woulda, coulda, shoulda, three, four, five more games. They should have won this past year. So if they won 7 games and if they should have won 3 to 5 more games, well, this team conceivably could have been a 10, 11, 12-win playoff team. So they're going to go into 2019 with those type of expectations. They're going to be on national TV, in my opinion, a lot. So the expectations are going to be high. He's got to win right out of the gate. There's no building here. There's no we're putting a program together. He's going to be expected to win from week one. So, no, I don't think he's going to get much of a honeymoon period.
So, Daryl, are you comfortable with him calling plays?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think there's like four or five coaches that are still in the playoffs now that call their own plays. You know, there's this myth out there that you can't be a head coach and call your own plays. Now, hopefully he does hire a coordinator or an associate head coach or whatever title you want to give him to do some of the minutiae and all the grunt work that comes with being the actual offensive coordinator, the film study, the breakdown, the prep, all those type of things. Hopefully he hires somebody to help him. But on game day, if he calls offensive plays, so what? I do believe that here in Cleveland, we're certainly scarred by that because of the epic disaster Hugh Jackson was with that situation. Pat Shurmur struggled with it. But the difference there was both of those coaches, they didn't hire that coordinator or whatever that could help them. They just kind of did it themselves, and hopefully Freddie Kitchens does hire somebody that helps him. But I have no issue with him if he ultimately decides he wants to call plays.
Darrell Ryder, joining us on the hotline. You know, as you covered this entire process, and, you know, names would emerge, the Kevin Stefanski thing is the one that interests me the most because it came at the 11th hour. There seemed to be some late momentum, but yet after bringing him for a second time, a second interview, they then got rid of Freddie. Is there any chance they were offering the head coach to Stefanski with the asterisk, hey, you got to keep Freddie Kitchens, and he said no, so they said we're keeping Freddie Kitchens?
It might be a possibility, just like Les Levine said yesterday on our station that the Browns were ready to offer it to Mike McCarthy with the stipulation that Freddie Kitchens is stays on board as the offensive coordinator. And apparently, from what Les was told, McCarthy said thanks but no thanks. And again, it goes to what we talked about earlier about fit and organizational structure and all those type of things. So I wouldn't rule it out, Anthony. I'm not going to say no. I haven't heard that. But, I think ultimately what it came down to is that John Dorsey really felt comfortable with Freddie Kitchens and the working relationship, the partnership that they're able to forge as they move this thing forward, because it's looking like, from what I understand, and credit Jimmy Haslam for doing this, there is going to be a tweak to the organizational structure, and Freddie Kitchens will not be reporting to Jimmy Haslam. He'll be reporting to John Dorsey, and I think that that's a great thing.
I got a red ass going, and this is just going to turn into a conversation and not even an interview here. For both of you, I love Les. Les is like a grandfather to me. I just don't – he's not Rasputin, man. Freddie Kitchens is not that guy. If you can't just say, well, he's got to be the offensive coordinator or nothing, right. Then, well, we can't lose him, so I guess we'll just make him the head coach. That to me, is the dumbest logic. And it might be
true.
Well,
we were worried about that going into the search, were we not?
And I thought that it was dumb then, and I feel it is dumb now. If you don't believe a guy is ready to be a head coach, you don't make the guy – I'm trying not to cuss because I'm actually getting agitated. You don't make the guy a head coach. You don't make the guy head coach.
Why do you think they never ended up talking to Mike McCarthy then when it was everybody's report that they were going to have him come in? Then they put those interviews off. They said he was coming in Berea last
Freddie
Friday.
Freddie Kitchens to be the offensive coordinator.
But I'm asking.
So what would they do if Freddie Kitchens were to have some upward mobility and he were to be the head coach somewhere else next year? Because obviously he would be talked about if he were to have some modicum of success with Baker Mayfield if he were just the offensive coordinator this year. This is the understanding that I don't have. Either you believe the guy is ready to be a head coach or you don't think the guy's ready to be a head coach. It's a major decision. And for them to make the guy the head coach because of that, I just don't believe it. I do not believe they would have their heads up certain far places that they would do something based on that decision-making. That, to me, seems faulty and crazy, and I don't believe that John Dorsey or anybody would actually sign off on something like that. I'm sorry. I don't believe it whatsoever.
I don't disagree with you, Ken. I really don't.
Tell you what, Darrell, I'd sooner believe that Mike McCarthy is a good football coach and is a Super Bowl winning head coach, and maybe they decided to do something different. They were supposed to have the guy in. They went in separate ways. Then all of a sudden he was only interested in the Jets job. Maybe he felt it was some sort of a personal slight that a team like the Browns that have sucked up the room for 20 years, seriously, wouldn't want him to be the head coach then, or there was a possibility it wouldn't just be handed over to him. I'd sooner believe that than to do something as reckless as put a guy who you don't believe is a head coach in as the head coach because, well, you know, he could leave us in a few years. That is the most backwards thinking I could imagine.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing, too, about hiring Freddie. And I said this as they went through this process. You know, okay, maybe he isn't ready today, but next year. And to your point, Ken, it makes sense. Just go ahead and hire him now. You know, if he means that much to you organizationally, and if you're sitting there as John Dorsey and you're saying, hey, I want to keep Freddie as my offensive coordinator for a year or two, but he is going to be a head coach. Well, if you feel that way about him, then just name him the head coach. And I think ultimately that might have been what happened here is that the Browns looked at the situation. They have so much respect for Freddie and their projection of him and his, you know, professional outlook in the National Football League, I think that that was part of it. They say, you know what, this guy's going to be an NFL head coach in a year. You know, we can hire someone, bring someone in, have Freddie stay as our coordinator. We're still losing the guy in a year or two. What are we doing here? If we think this guy's going to be a head coach, why don't we just make him a head coach? You know, it's been very rare that we've actually had really good coaches here that we, you know, feel this way about. So let's just do it now. So I think that that could have been part of the decision-making process here, Ken.
I just keep going back to something here, and I know we only have you for a limited amount of time here, Daryl. But if that's the case, then I guess Baker Mayfield really sucks, and he's not that great. If they feel that he's just waving a magic wand, he's the first coach ever to take a talented guy and make him more talented in that case and just wave a magic wand over him and make him a good quarterback then, that they cannot do without Freddie Kitchens by any mean. I just would not believe any chance at common sense on that theorem. I got to get back to something else here. The coaches that were let go – do we know about Al Saunders or anything else? And then what do you think they're going to do a defensive coordinator? Do you know a name by any chance that we should look out for? And I mentioned Al Saunders because I just didn't see it. I don't know if you knew anything. Maybe he's
Mary Kay reported yesterday that he was one of the ones that was let go.
All right. What about defensive coordinator then?
You know what? Been a pretty tight ship. No idea. And also no idea who Freddie wants to bring in to help him on the offensive side of the ball as well. They've not only kept the search professional and tight, there's not been a lot of leaks as far as who could be coming in to help Freddie Kitchens on this coaching staff. So what we do know, he's going to be the coach. Hopefully we get an announcement today, possibly a press conference today. And a lot of the coaches that were on this staff were told yesterday that their services were no longer needed.
All right, Dangerous One, we thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Good talking to you guys, as always.
The ever so Dangerous One, Darrell Ryder, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.